All right, now if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts today, the book of Acts chapter 4, and we want to look at verse number 32. Acts 4, beginning at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, the title to this little study today is simply this: The Ministry of an Encourager. Now, I have to confess to you that sometimes I find myself not thanking a lot of people in this place for what they do. I neglect that. I have to confess that to you. I think we all ought to be encouragers in that way. And we have so many people here that do so much behind the scenes. And really, I think this year I need to, if it's nothing more than jotting them a note or just even whispering in their ear and thank them for what they do. I couldn't begin to go down the list, because I would be afraid of missing someone. All the little things that some pastors take for granted and other people that go on around here to keep this place looking good. We should be good stewards of everything that God gives us, including the building that we gather together to worship. Amen. The church, of course, is you. But isn't it wonderful that God also supplies us with the chairs and the buildings and everything else that makes it comfortable for us? We should be thankful for all of those things. I would think, and probably some of you would agree with me, that one of the greatest tragedies of our time is there just doesn't seem to be as many kind people around as I can remember when I was growing up as a teenager or a kid. I'm an old guy in the eyes of many. I don't feel old. Might look a little aged, but I don't feel old. And sometimes, since I was brought up that way, if I see a lady especially, or anybody that's coming my way, I'll hold the door open for them. That's just the way I was brought up, and many of you the same way. And not that I'm looking for a thank you or anything like that, but we are so busy and so caught up with everything that's going on around us that many times we still have people to say thank you and glad for that, but many of them are just flying by, you know, and moving on their way. And that's kind of sad, isn't it? Kind of a great tragedy in the year 2019. We always seem to be able to find, and sad to say, the way local and state and federal politicians are, we seem to find plenty of mean-spirited and critical and cynical people, but there are so few who just take the time to be kind as a lifestyle, let's put it that way. We see so much bickering and fighting among individuals. Yet I believe that every child of God should strive to be an encourager to others and to each other, and to strive to be kind and considerate. Now, sometimes, even the pastor, and some of you who come here regularly, you know that sometimes I myself allow the politicians to bring out the carnal part of the old nature in me. And I guess we all have to be a little careful about that, don't we? But I guess all of us at times, you could say, are opinionated, self-centered, and rude, and sometimes just plain mean in dealing with other people. That shouldn't be. But after all, we are still battling with that old nature that has not been eradicated. And we won't get rid of that until we get those new bodies. Amen. And that'll be wonderful too when we spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very simple outline today, if you want to follow. It'll be up on your screen. But the first thing I want us to consider is the importance of encouragement. The importance of encouragement. I believe that we have a basic understanding of the meaning of encouragement. The Greek word for encourage, and of course we know that our scriptures were originally written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and this Greek word for encourage can be translated as comfort, console, entreat, beg, implore, counsel, urge, challenge, all of those words. And all of those words in that, where that Greek word appears, it appears here in the scriptures. And we see from this definition that encouragement has a twofold emphasis that we need to consider. First of all, to comfort or reassure, and to challenge or admonish. That goes along with encouragement too. The scripture tells us all of that. What was the letter, many of the letters, but especially what was the one letter that Paul wrote to the young preacher boy by the name of Timothy? He wrote encouraging words to him. He also admonished him, which is another form of encouragement, to beware of certain things and certain people. And that's the way it should be. To encourage someone is to comfort or challenge them, especially with the word of God, in such a way that you motivate people. That's part of encouragement too. It should be with the idea of motivating a person and to encourage them in their Christian life to continue in the Lord's service. I have said from this pulpit many, many times, and I'll continue to say it until the day I'm not in this pulpit and even beyond that, that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one when they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you need to find out on this path that God has placed you what you need to do, what your ability is, what your talent is. Brother Butch this morning in Sunday school made it very clear that it's important for us that we make ourselves available to God. If you do, God will use you. Many of you have some hidden talents. And if I find out about those hidden talents, especially if you can play the piano and give Marianne a break, I'm going to come knocking on your door, if you know what I mean. I'm so grateful for the young lady that's taking piano lessons now. And I'm looking forward to the day when she gets through those lessons and she gets better and improves. And boy, I can't wait till I say now, Danielle, down there I went and I mentioned her name, and she's not sitting in church today. She's probably downstairs helping in Good News Club. I say, Danielle, it would be wonderful if you played the piano this month. I don't tell her I said that. I might scare her, but I'm sure she'll be ready for it when the time comes. Amen? She will be. So to encourage a person, to motivate them in their Christian life. The next thing in our outline, the incentive for encouragement. The incentive for encouragement. Our God is a God of encouragement. Many of you, if not all of you, you already know that. In the Greek, we find a word encouragement, or its noun form, encourage, encourager, used for all three persons of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's certainly not by accident, is it? God the Father. More than once, we see the Greek word for encourage used for God the Father. Look, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we want to look at verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all what? Comfort. The God of all comfort. Let me read it again. Some of you weren't there yet. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Then look also at 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. And we want to look at two verses there. 16 and 17 are the verses we want. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. What's the first word in verse 17? Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God the Father, there it is. We could find other scriptures, I'm sure. How about the Son? The Greek word for encourage is also used as a title for Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, if you'd look at that, please. 1 John chapter 2, and we want to look at 1 John 2 and verse number 1. 1 John 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There it is. Jesus is called the advocate. He's called the advocate. Or as other translations put it, our defense, our intercessor. The word used here, advocate, is the Greek for encourager. It literally means one called alongside to help. And boy, doesn't the Bible tells us he's an ever-present help in time of need, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has been called to our side to represent us on behalf of the Father. Why do you think it's so important for Jesus Christ to sit in the right hand of God the Father on high and make intercession for us, an advocate, be almost like our attorney? Well, Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a man, and he experienced everything that you and I do without sin. So he knows exactly what we're going through, and he knows how to help us and give aid to us. Amen? He experienced everything, but without sin, that you and I experience. I am so glad for Jesus and his ability to make intercession and be an advocate for me in, of all places, heaven above. And then the Holy Spirit. Not surprisingly, the Greek word for encourage is also applied to the Holy Spirit. Look at the Gospel of John and chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Isn't it marvelous? The minute you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, to lead and to guide you into all the truth, to help you in your battle with the old nature that likes to spring up its head every now and then. Aren't you thankful for the Comforter? Aren't you thankful for the one who leads and guides us into all the truth, the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in the original language is called the Paraclete, here translated as the Comforter. The word used is encourager, and it also means one called alongside to help. That's tremendous. When applied to the Trinity, what does the word encourage tell us? It tells us that God is the great encourager, the one from whom we receive support and love. And when you think about agape love, that doesn't come anywhere close to, I love my wife. I try to tell my wife at least once a day, if not more times, that I love her. But you know, God does the same thing to us. Each and every step of our way on the path that he has placed us, he tells us in so many ways, I love you. I care for you. I'm here to help you. I want to meet your need. Christians are called to encourage one another. Look, if you would please, now to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So not only does God comfort us, encourage us, he sets the example for us. He expects us to do the same thing. Paul tells us God comforts us not simply to relieve our distress, but also that we may be able to comfort others. We don't have to turn to it, but 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says just exactly that. The writer of Hebrews links mutual encouragement to, of all things, worship attendance. Look at Hebrews. We got to look at this one. Hebrews chapter 10. We often quote this, but in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." That's what we have done here today. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, what's that day that's approaching? Well, the day that's approaching is Jesus is going to call us home to be with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were sitting in a service worshiping God and he called us home to be with him? Man, that would be marvelous. If that happened right now, wow, that would be great. Did you hear that, God? No man knows the time, but it would be great if it was today. It would be great. So We all of us sitting here today that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, have a duty to admonish and encourage as we attend our services together and worship God. We finish worshiping Him early in raising our voices in the hymns and the songs that we sing to bring honor and glory to God. And that is encouraging. I look out over the audience many times when we're singing some of these hymns, and I see them big smiles on faces as they read the words and they sing the hymns of the faith. So encouraging. Roman numeral number 3, the illustration of encouragement. The illustration of encouragement. There were many encouragers in the New Testament church. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down and dwelt each and every one of them. And this one character stands out in my mind. We read about him in our opening passage in Acts chapter 4. His name was Joseph, really. You probably would not recognize him by that name, because even the disciples back in that day called him by another name. They called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What a name to be associated with and to be given by other believers, son of encouragement. And I believe a close study of his life and ministry shows us how we can be encouragers. So let's just take a little bit of time here and see what's going on. There's under our Roman numeral number 3 here, we have a couple of points I want to share with you. And this is concerning this man's life. Encouragers look for opportunities to help with those with physical needs. Encouragers look for opportunities to help with those with physical needs. The early Jerusalem church had many poor people. Some of the poor people were widows. Some were working men who could not secure or hold employment after confessing Christ. Back in those days, in those times, this is where sometimes you need to know a little bit about the culture and also about the history. Back in those days, if a Jew said that they received Christ as their Savior and they were baptized, when they were baptized, the family many times would have, the Jewish family would have a funeral for them. Not literal, but they would disown them. They would have nothing to do with them anymore. The times of the early church, when you read the book of Acts and about the history at the beginning of the church, they suffered much. They went through a lot. All of the apostles, except with the possibility of John, but he was put on the Isle of Patmos for a purpose, suffered martyrdom at the hands of people who hated Christianity and hated what they were doing. So some of these men couldn't even hold employment anymore. Others were pilgrims from other nations who were converted on the day of Pentecost, and they stayed there for fellowship and teaching. And local believers had to help these people. Now, don't misread some of the scripture. I don't think that Barnabas necessarily sold all of the property that he had, but he sold a piece of ground. And why did he do it? In order to help the people that had a need. That's why he did that. We have had people here through the years donate to purchase certain items, maybe hymn books, maybe the new a soundboard we have, maybe the carpet that's not new anymore, but years ago we had the money for it, but somebody said, do you mind if I pay for that for you? And of course I said, no, we don't want you to do that. No, of course, we allowed them to do that. I remember other items that were purchased here at the church were purchased because somebody had received an inheritance from their parents. And they wanted to use that to help us purchase something here in the church. Amen? So it even goes on today, doesn't it? That's quite a few years past the day of Pentecost. So that's very encouraging too. Barnabas, we already read, he responded by selling the property, probably on his native island of Cyprus. That's where he was from. And then he brings the proceeds to the apostle to be used for those in need. He not only talked encouragement, but he also did concrete encouraging acts. That's so important also. Number two, encouragers welcome new people into the church. Paul's former friends in the Sanhedrin thought of him as a renegade, and they rejected him. The Christians were suspicious of Paul. You know, after he got saved, they're saying, oh, did you hear? Saul of Tarsus got saved. He did? Isn't that the one that went around to the churches and tried to round up the Christians to put them into prison? Yeah, well, he got saved. Well, they even rejected him because they didn't trust him. They said, wait a minute, is this true, or is he just using this to try to find more Christians so he can put them away? Boy, that would be sad, wouldn't it? But who was it that took Paul, Saul of Tarsus, by the hand, introduced him to the other Christians? It was the man by the name of Barnabas, the encourager. What an example. What an example. And of course, in the book of Acts, let's turn to that. In Acts chapter 11, we find in verses 23 and 24... that it was Barnabas, so that Jerusalem church sent Barnabas to investigate when there were some things going on here. And look at Acts 11 and verse 23, and it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Why? Because of the encourager. Because of the encourager. Barnabas threw all his energies into the work. And you know what? I am glad for many people who sit here that throw their all into this work. We often pray, Father, please, until you come, let this place, this building you have given us that is filled with the church, be a lighthouse in this community until you call us home to be with you. And the only way that can happen is through people who are encouragers. Encourage one another by being here. It even encourages the pastor to look out and see more than just three in the front row. You understand? Again, I'm reminded, and I'm praying for a man who I personally know that had a church for a number of years, and now it's to the point where they're down to almost nobody, and they can't sustain the church anymore, so the church doors close. I got a communication the other day I shared with you. A church that was running 250, 300 people is down to almost nothing, and they're determining what are they going to do, close the doors or what? That's sad, isn't it? That brings a grief to my heart and a tear to my eye. And I hope you pray along with me that God will continue to use this place as a lighthouse. He's the one that sustains it. He's the one that keeps it here. Amen? That makes all the difference in the world. It was also the church at Antioch which first sent missionaries to Europe. Remember that too. Number three, encouragers invoke others in the work of the Lord. We see this in how Barnabas enlisted Paul in his work. The growing work at Antioch needed teachers and preachers. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. It was because of Barnabas that Paul finally began the great missionary work the Lord had called him to do. Why? Because he had an encourager behind him. Other people didn't want anything to do with him. Oh, we remember you. We remember how you treated Christians. Well, we don't trust you. But Barnabas was there, right there by his side, encouraging him. And man, what a difference that made in Paul's life, don't you see? As you study his life and history. Number four, encouragers work to keep people in the church. Encouragers work to keep people in the church. Those usually are not the ones that have roast pastor for church. Did you get that? Okay. Those are the ones that are encouraging people to stay and aren't gossipers. When Barnabas and Paul set out on their first missionary journey, they took John Mark with them as their helper. You can read about that in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and chapter 13, verse 5. For whatever reason, Mark defected. Before the journey was half over, in Acts 13:13, he decided he's going back home. Now, perhaps, and we're guessing at this, perhaps he was homesick. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was ill. We don't know. But he decided he's going to stop. He's not going to go along. Well, all of a sudden, there's a strong disagreement now between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. Now, Paul didn't want to take John Mark because he had deserted once before. And now we've come to a different time here where there was the next missionary journey. And Paul didn't want to take John Mark. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark another chance because he wanted to encourage a young man. Well, Paul went out. And it's interesting that now after that passage of scripture, you don't hear anymore about Barnabas. So we don't know what happened there, but we do know this. Paul and Barnabas parted their ways. Wasn't any argument, wasn't anything, you know, other than they parted their ways. And I guess you could say later on, Paul might have recognized the error of his way. When he wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to the ministry." And isn't it interesting who wrote the second gospel that is teaching us about the servant, Jesus Christ? Mark. Boy, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? God knows what he's doing. Just something to think about. Roman numeral number four. The investment of encouragement. The investment of encouragement. As you study this man's life, you cannot help notice how much of an investment Barnabas made in others. And how it paid off in dividends. Paul was able to go out and preach to the Gentiles. and write 13 letters. Paul himself became one of the greatest encouragers. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Read it on your own. Also, through Barnabas, encouragement of Mark, we gained the second gospel. Showing us the example of the perfect servant to set the example for us, Jesus Christ. Barnabas never wrote a book that found its way into the Bible, but he encouraged two men who wrote over half of the New Testament. An encourager. Now, not a heap of awards or crowns given to Barnabas here on this earth, but I bet you we might see him receive a few from God in heaven one day. The quiet encourager that made a difference in many people's lives. All Christians at one time or another need encouragement. I'm going to ask a dumb question. Would you raise your hand if you don't need encouragement? I don't see any hands going up. We all need encouragement from time to time, do we not? But the scriptures identify at least four different groups of people within the church. Now we'll go through this quickly. Who especially need our encouragement and our support. Follow with me very closely. We'll go through this quickly. Number one, the distressed need comfort. There are many kinds of distress we can respond to with encouragement. Sickness, death of loved ones, family problems, breakup of a marriage, financial hardships, loneliness, and other things that you can add and might be thinking about right now. Number two, the dedicated workers need compliments. Oh, now that's where the pastor has already confessed to you he failed a little bit in the past. Need to let people know how much they're appreciated. That's something you can do too. Let others know. How long has it been since a word of thanks to the deacons or to a Sunday school teacher or to the youth leader, those in the music ministry, nursery attendants? They all need encouragement. One time or another. Number three, new believers need care. New believers need care. That's why Paul often returned to the new churches he had established. Without our encouragement, believers who enter the church through the front door, unfortunately, sometimes quietly slip out the back door. And lots of times it could be our fault that they do that. Number four, the uninvolved need prodding. Yeah, that's part of encouragement too, isn't it? They need prodding. I often find out from time to time that, or I hear, somebody has a good singing voice. Woo, all right. Good talent. They have an ability. Ooh, let's use that. Let's use that. When I look at the life of Barnabas, I realize just how far I have to go to reach his level of encouragement. And I guess we could say that's true about, if not all of us, many of us. We need to work at being encouragers. We all need to get involved in encouraging one another. Encourage one another to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord with our best. To not give up, to not quit, but be faithful. And an encouragement, an encouraging word from someone else often makes the difference. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.